This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Hello, this is Amy Harrison, and you're listening to Hit Publish, where I cover simple ways to get better results with your online business. This week, you and I are going on a journey to explore simple but highly valued content that you can create to not only thrill your readers, but to make you stand out as a notable authority in your field. Exciting. I want to thank you for downloading this podcast, and I want to thank Rainmaker FM for hosting it. Are you ready to roll up your sleeves and knock the socks off your audience with some simple but jaw-dropping content creation skills? Then let's hit publish. Now, one of the reasons I love doing this podcast is because Hit Publish listeners are smart and generous, especially when sharing their own knowledge and processes in the comments section. So I want to take just a few moments to mention some recent comments, because if you miss them, you might have missed out on some useful tips. Belinda Weaver, a top copywriter over at Copyright Matters, left a message to update how she was getting on using the Sticky Thoughts notepad as outlined in the episode, How to Write More, Faster, and with Less Stress. So just to recap, a Sticky Thoughts notepad is a productivity tool I use when writing to make sure I stay focused. As soon as a thought comes into my head that isn't related to the piece I'm writing, I jot it down on a piece of paper and promptly forget about it. Now, what's interesting is that Belinda was saying that she'd been using a similar system, but had been using her phone to jot down these disruptive thoughts. However, with a phone already being a hotbed of activity and distractions, especially social media, Belinda found that hopping on and off of her phone was actually slowing down the writing process, so she switched to paper and found the process much more fluid. Have you been using a Sticky Thoughts notepad? If so, I would love to hear how you're getting on with it. Now, we had quite a few comments on the episode all about email etiquette, and it was great to see listeners giving us a behind-the-scenes look into how they operate their own email newsletters. Madison Woods runs wildozark.com. She lives in the Wild Ozark Mountains of Northwest Arkansas, or, as I thought it was pronounced when I was little, Arkansas. Just like my mum thought Yosemite was pronounced Yosemite. Used to call the Looney Tunes character Yosemite Sam. Now, goal of Madison's site is to bridge the gap between people and the natural world through stories, photography, books, and crafts inspired by the Ozarks. So, Madison sends out a monthly newsletter, but she doesn't leave it until the last minute to prepare. Throughout the month, she has a system for gathering links to articles that she thinks people will like, and then, in the newsletter, she chooses one that she thinks relates to the overall theme of that specific email. Now, I love this for a couple of reasons. One, if a newsletter feels overwhelming, know that you can create it bit by bit, by gathering links or jotting down ideas in a notebook. Then, when it comes time to publish, you can structure the notes you already have much better than starting from scratch. And two, I love this because it's not overwhelming to the reader. They can read about a specific topic, and if they want to take it further, they have a useful article to check out. They're not bombarded with lots of different stories or options. Now, Madison also does a very smart thing. She segments her list. So, sometimes she might want to email more frequently about something that she finds exciting or interesting, but she doesn't want to upset the people that only really want to hear from her once a month. So, when people sign up, they have an option of ticking a box to say that they're happy to get the monthly newsletter and they don't mind more frequent emails. A great way to manage expectations and delight your reader. Now, Niraj, he runs HiverHQ.com, a service that allows teams to collaborate on projects directly from Gmail. He really liked the tip about optimizing the preview text in your email newsletters. So that's the text that people can see when they look at their email in their inbox. And he wasn't surprised to find out that optimizing this text can really improve your open rates. Now, Paula Lego runs Educa en Casa. And the headline on her homepage is, Educar en el hogar es un derecho. Optar por una educación diferente es un derecho que tenemos como padres. I have probably butchered that. My Spanish is a little rusty. But I think it translates to this. Homeschooling is a right. Choosing a different education is a right that we have as parents. So, from looking at Paula's website, which was all in Spanish, it looks like she produces materials and resources to help people who are thinking about homeschooling. Now, she really enjoyed the practical aspect of the tips in the email etiquette, and she emails, like Madison, on a regular basis, about 1 to 2 times a month, and then maybe additionally if there's something that's time sensitive. But she really liked the idea of having a follow-up sequence after someone registers to help build a more personal relationship with the reader. Now, if you've not listened to the email episode, you can find all episodes over at hitpublish.fm. And I wanted to say, don't think it's too late to join in any of the conversations. I track and read every comment that comes in, so if you're still catching up on older episodes, remember you can still pitch in with your ideas and you will be heard. So before we jump into our simple but special content, we need to reveal this week's word of the week. And it is bromide. Not the chemical compound of which one element is bromine, such as sodium bromide, no. We're more interested in its other meaning, which is a platitude or trite saying. So that's bromide. And somewhere in this episode, it will be hidden for you to discover with your ears. And when you do hear it, I want you to send a text message to someone you really like but haven't heard from in a while. It'll make their day, and it's a way of passing on that word of the week good feeling. On a more serious note, we need to address the latest Dear Amy letter. Now, if you have submitted a Dear Amy letter in the past, and I've not got to it straight away, do keep listening because there's sometimes a delay of a few weeks from getting a Dear Amy letter to being able to address it in the show. But know this, if you do send one in, I will absolutely answer it. Dear Amy, I'd like to create a piece of standout content for my site. I'm not sure whether it'll be an ebook or a blog post. I really want to put effort into making it valuable, but here's my problem. I'm constantly conflicted with what I should create and also at what level to pitch it. I don't want to make it hard for beginners, but I don't want to look like my stuff is too simple. I know I'm probably overthinking and overcomplicating this, so anything you can do to get me going would be great. Yours in limbo, Roger. Roger, this is a great question, and personally, I have hit that content creation wall so many times I have bruises in the shape of a keyboard on my forehead. Now, I want to be honest with you as a listener. I chose Roger's letter because I have a really, really easy solution. But it's a bit of a zinger, and I mean that in a good way, because it's so simple, in fact, that many of your competitors won't even think about doing this. And if you do take advantage of creating this kind of content, you can find yourself in the spotlight pretty quickly and in a good way. The type of content I'm going to talk you through is a great way to get people blogging about you, sharing your stuff, coming back to you regularly, and being noticed and contacted by people who want to work with you. It's got a pretty smart title. It's called The Simple Content That Your Customer Wants But Doesn't Have the Time, Money, or Inclination to Create. Oh yeah, spend a lot of time on my sexy titles. Now, don't let the word simple put you off. Simple is good. Because what happens when you're an expert, you can forget the power of simple. Basically, as your knowledge, experience, and expertise increases, you may feel the need to create more complicated, in-depth content. And it's the kind of content that you might find fascinating, but might be a little out of your customer's reach or experience. Okay, everyone, as you know, I've been studying survival tactics for years. This weekend, I've got a special task lined up for you. We're going to be staying deep in this forest for 48 hours. All you have is a flask of water and a sharp stick. You'll be making your own accommodation, killing your own food, and finding your own water when your flask runs out. You'll also be defending your territory against the wild animals, which may include coyotes and bears. This is going to be a true test of your skill and survival expertise. It's going to be amazing. Sir? Yes? I thought that we were just going camping. Camping is for beginners. What are you, some kind of...
I'm sick, sir. I'm lucky if I can get my cereal without any help. I don't think they have cereal in the forest.
Of course not. You'll be killing rabbits and...
I want to go home.
Oh, for Pete's sake, it's the wilderness trip of 2005 all over again. I mean, if you can't fend for yourself at six, what hope is there for you? Okay, let's get back on the bus. It's only a 3-hour trek away. So it is important that you check in with yourself and ask, is this something that I am personally interested in based on my level of expertise, or is it also something that is accessible to people a few steps behind me? So Of course, you don't want to make your content too simple for your audience. Now, the following may or may not have been something that I witnessed firsthand and then added creative license to. Are you looking forward to the event? Oh, absolutely. I can't wait to see this top marketer in action. I've heard so many good things. Me too. I mean, my business is growing steadily, but I want to know those up-to-date techniques that might just give me a bit more growth. Same here. I've just started generating leads by driving traffic to a handful of landing pages. I would love to know what he has to say about optimizing those pages. Oh, here he is. Can't wait to take notes.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, what a crowd. What a crowd. I'm so happy to see you here. Being here means I know you are willing to invest your time and money in learning. You're willing to spend money, even if it makes you uncomfortable, if it means you can take your business to the next level. So let's dive straight into the content. First rule of marketing is you need to upside your leverage. Got to maximize what you're doing. Hands up here, anyone who is currently maximizing what they're doing.
What? What on earth does that mean? What's he talking about? No idea.
Now, every business starts with a killer idea. So I want to ask you, do you have a killer idea? Hands up. Uh-huh. Good. That's not enough. You also need to take action. Now, I want you to write this down in your workbook. Business success is based on a killer idea and taking action. Now, I once had a business that was failing, but then I maximized my leverage and it became a success. So write this down. Sometimes you need to maximize your leverage to turn failure into success.
This is rubbish. What a bunch of bromides.
Because in marketing today, if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. Here, let me put this on a slide for you so you can tweet this. Yeah, if you're not moving forwards, backwards, that's it, yeah.
Oh my God, he's not said one thing I can actually take. Come on, let's go to the pub. Quick, we'll just sneak out. Escapee.
Quick, don't let them leave. Swipe their credit cards on the way out.
Run! Okay, Amy. Not too complicated, not too simple, but give me something I can work with here. How do I create simple content that makes me look like an authority?
Well, you do this by making your content interactive. And what I mean by this is that the content you create is pretty simple, but your reader or potential customer can interact with it to help them create or do something new. So what do I mean by this? Well, instead of, say, having a general article like a blog post with some advice or steps to follow, you put in a little bit more effort up front so that it's easy for your reader to use. So it's the difference between writing a post about how to eat healthily and giving your customer a healthy recipe that they can just follow. Now, this interaction, I'll go through more examples in just a minute, is key to making your content stand out. Although getting people to interact with your work doesn't work in every situation.
Welcome to my art gallery. Now, you will just love this piece. See how the linear nature of the portrait really draws your eyes to her nose? Oh, you can see how it explores the universality of myth and urban spaces. Mm-hmm. Now onto this piece, which really is something special. It's an actual piece by Turner.
What are you doing?
Oh, hello, boss. Well, I really wanted to throw myself into this job as an art curator, so I read this book about art, and it talks about how the audience is actually the final piece of the creation process. Art is much more interactive than just looking at a piece. So, I saw this piece and I thought, how can I interact with it? But what have you done?
Well,
I thought, do you know what? It's a bit drab. And I thought, Turner, is that his name? But you know what, Turner? It's not a bad landscape. I'm going to help you out here, because I'm interpreting it as something much happier than it looks like now. So I painted this big sun. Doesn't that look better? His looked like a dreary Sunday afternoon. Now it looks like... Well, why are you chasing me? I thought you'd like it. Okay, Amy. Well, I don't run an art gallery, but tell me more about this interactive content. Right, well, first of all, let me tell you a story about a man named Simon Nixon. In 1993, when Simon was a student, he started up a business called Mortgage 2000. It included and compared various mortgage rates from different lenders at the time. Now, it was all done by hand every week or month. Simon would painstakingly compile this list and then sell this list to mortgage brokers. It was simple. Anyone could have done it, but he was the only one doing it, and as a result became invaluable to mortgage brokers. 6 years later, he launched moneysupermarket.com, which grew into a huge online price comparison site for a range of financial products. And in 2007,
was valued at £843 million. So why did that early work so well? Because this type of work wasn't useful for an individual mortgage broker to do. It wasn't worth the time to spend hours each week looking up every single mortgage rate. They had other things to do. And it also wouldn't have been worth their time hiring someone to do it full time for them. However, for Simon Nixon, once the hard work was done, he could duplicate the information very easily and sell it to multiple people, meaning it was affordable to the end user and more than paid for his time to do it. Now, the content is interactive because the end user would actively have these writs beside them when making decisions. It was a useful fact sheet that saved them so much time rather than having to look up the individual information themselves. And this is a perfect example of the simple content that your customer wants but doesn't have the time, money, or inclination to create. So how can you adapt this to what you're doing? Well, it might take a bit of thought, and if you're struggling to think of something, feel free to head to the comments and let me know a bit about your business and target market, and we'll brainstorm something together in the comments, okay? Let's think about the Money Supermarket example, though. Could you create a comparison chart or table regularly? If your customers are brides-to-be, could you have a weekly comparison and collection of the best offers? If you're into fitness, could you compare the best 20 different exercises for toning legs? Think about this, because if you can create a regular comparison publication, it is the sort of thing that people come back to check and see what's changed, and also the type of content that often gets referenced in the media. Now, here are some other examples of how businesses create this type of interactive content. Hopefully, one of the examples sparks inspiration of how you can apply it to your business. Now, if you've been listening for a while, you'll know that cooking is not one of my strong points. Eating, yes, I could have an Olympic medal in clearing a plate. One of the things I hate the most is planning out meals in advance and creating enough variety to keep my husband happy. Me, I'd happily have tinned mints on toast every night. Yes, tinned mints, it does exist. In fact, quick story, for the first couple of years of marriage, I thought I was a good cook because my husband always said how lovely everything was. Turns out he had nasal polyps, which meant he had absolutely no sense of taste or smell. So my hopes of being a domestic goddess were dashed, and I had to up my game in cooking tasty food. So, as with every problem I face, I turned to Google to look for recipe ideas. But here's the problem I found. One, a lot of these recipes use fancy ingredients that I either don't have or don't want to buy. Two, let's say I just picked out 7 recipes for the week. I'm going to end up with a ton of extra food that I don't need and that will go to waste because I'm going to have more ingredients for one recipe that I'm not going to be able to use in another. Enter Frugal Foods. Now, I stumbled on this site and it was a godsend. Frugal Faye is a genius because what she does is plans out a week's worth of evening meals to feed a family of 4. But this is the best part. She also includes a shopping list. And the meals are tailored so that you can use the ingredients across a number of different meals, meaning all the food that you buy in the week gets used up. Now, she has 25 of these one-week guides, and I go back to mine again and again. What's more, they're all super simple to make, and I'm now improving my cooking reputation. Her beef burritos were so good when I did them for a dinner party, a guest actually asked if he could take home the leftovers. I use these 7-day guides a lot. I talk about them a lot and refer people to them. They save me so much time. Now, could I have collected 7 different recipes and written out a shopping list? Yes, but I don't want to. I want it done for me. And I'll link to her site in the show notes, but trust me, they are a brilliant inspiration for anyone who's busy but still wants to eat well. So that's something you might want to do. You see this a lot with fitness plans. Now, I'm going to hopefully run a marathon next year. I don't know why. So I've been looking up training plans. I just have to download and follow what I'm supposed to do each week. So easy, right? Yeah, we'll see. So could you help organize your customer's life? If you teach marketing, could you set out a 4-week marketing plan for them to try? If you provide teaching materials, could you plot out a curriculum and timetable for your customer to follow? People love this kind of content because they don't want to do it themselves. They probably can't do it as well as you could do it. And chances are, that they will use this type of content time and time again, bringing them closer to you and your business. Another style of interactive content is creating a template or a structure for your customer to fill in. So a few years ago, I created the copywriting dictionary. It categorized hundreds of different words. So for example, you'd have maybe 50 different words to help you talk about the pain points in someone's life, or 40 plus words to keep the tone conversational. And it took me quite a while to put together bit by bit. I would research lots of different styles of copy and then add words and phrases to the dictionary into the different sections. Now, right at the start of the book was also a number of headline templates. The reader would spend a few minutes filling in a grid that asked them things like their target market, how long it took to see results, what problem was solved. And then once people had this, they could simply plug this information into the templates. Now, this was probably one of my most popular ebooks. And not only was it popular with individual businesses, but it landed me my first high-paying, long-term client who read the book, loved it, and wanted to use the framework to develop marketing messages for software companies. And that's something to remember. The effort you put into making this simple style of content makes you look like an expert, because no one else is doing it, and yet it is so useful. Now, on the subject of templates, a couple of sites even have simple pieces of software for generating content. So, for example, there's some sites that can help you generate band names. My husband and I are in the process of putting a band back together, so I've been scouting websites for bluegrass band name inspirations. Nothing yet, but I'll keep you posted. Now, HubSpot and Portent both have online tools to help you generate blog post ideas, and I'll link to those in the show notes. These are excellent and they're simple to create. Yes, it takes time and effort to do the research, gather the content and structure it, but you can do it. Checklists, also excellent pieces of content. Packing lists for different types of vacations, shopping lists for a house party. Simple, valuable, and all the type of content that your competitors probably aren't creating and that your customer doesn't want to create. So here's my question to you. What simple content can you create to make you stand out as an authority? Think about the following four questions. 1. What ongoing need does your customer have? Do they have to keep coming up with content ideas or need inspiration for a particular routine that they have? 2. What do they not have the time, money, or inclination to create? 3. What format do you want to use? A template, a structure, an organizational plan, a checklist? 4, finally, do the research and put your work together. I would love to hear it if you have already created content like this. Let your business shine in the Hit Publish comments and tell me. Or tell me what kind of content you think would work well for your business. Now, I want to thank you for being a knowledgeable Hit Publish listener. If you found this useful today, I'd love it if you pop over to iTunes and left a rating and a review. Takes just a few minutes, but if you do, apparently you're 87% more likely to have one of those dreams where you can fly. I love those dreams. Don't forget, if you'd like to be featured in the Dear Amy column, simply leave a comment on the show page with your question or problem, or email me using hello@writewithinfluence.com. That's all for this week. So until next time, remember to take action and hit publish.